Welcome to our study of Joshua. We are in chapter 1, and before we pick up with verse 10, I want to take you back, please, to verse 8. Remember, the Lord commanded Moses, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And we just want to talk to you about that, meditating on that word and not letting that word depart. Always keeping that word before you and in your mouth, and not departing, that the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. I'll get it out in a second.
Now, think about this. Nobody talks all the time, right? Some just seem like they do. No, but in reality, no one talks all the time. So he's not talking about walking around talking scripture all the time. That's not what he's saying. But when there's something that needs to be said, or something that you need to respond to, and then make sure you do it in a scriptural manner. That's what this is basically referring to. It's not walking around and trying to impress people with how much scripture you know, and trying to be super spiritual and all that. So just want to make sure we have that established. Because when I read that, back many years ago, and I read where, pray always. Mm-hmm. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. That's continually, right? Mm-hmm. Like, man, I mean, you can't even eat. You do all that, right? I mean, think about it. So it's got to mean more than that. And so don't go off on the deep end with me on all this, okay? It's just... don't throw your brain away. Use some common sense with all this. Okay, so he's talking about speaking in agreement with the Word of God. And I told Heather I thought we needed to probably clear that up to where people can have the wrong idea. Well, what am I supposed to do? Just not even be able to answer a question without quoting a scripture or something like that? Of course not. I mean, communication is the way we get through life, right? Just make sure that your communication agrees with the Word of God. Okay?
Good. Let's take a look at verse 10 together. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victual,
victuals.
Thank you, victuals. Couldn't get out. For wherein 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it."
Okay. Now you note this is delegated authority. And this is how God operates, is through delegation. This is how the world operates, is through delegation. Military through delegation. Corporations through delegation. You understand? And so who's he talking to? The leaders. So he tells the leaders, you tell the people. Now there's different categories of leaders. Some are captains of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, right? So you have this assignment, you have this assignment, you have this assignment. But make sure that everybody fulfills their assignment so all the people know. You get ready. Because within 3 days, we're going to cross the Jordan River and begin possessing the promised land. And so prepare food for your journey that you're about to take. And so they have 3 days to get ready. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's very interesting. Prepare your food for your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're just things you have to think about. You think ahead. Well, we have to think ahead in preparing for this journey of life, getting that word in us. That word is feeding us. A lot of people get into situations and then they want to grab the Bible and try to find a scripture that would get them out of their situation. What we need to do is not react, but have a plan of action. And to get the plan of action, we get the word in us, and then the word comes out of us. Here again, agree with 1:8, right? So, God does things systematically. God does things in order. There's no one more orderly than God. No one more organized than God. You understand? God does not fly by the seat of his britches, like a lot of the, I better not say that, okay, a lot of the churches that I have been in do. Wasn't that a nice way to say that? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. No. There's a plan. Everything's not just spontaneous. Jesus never acted spontaneously. He already had direction. He always did what he saw and what he heard. You understand? How could he do that? Because he stayed in constant communication with the Father. And so for us to be properly prepared, we have to stay in communication with the Lord. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. I'm thinking about the time Elisha was running for his life and how he basically wears himself out and he lays down and the angel wakes him up and says, arise and eat, for the journey's too great for you. He gets up to eat and he goes back to sleep. And the second time he comes to him, two meals he prepares for him. It says he went in the strength of that 40 days and 40 nights. You understand? And so you get that word in you that will sustain you through whatever hardship or whatever trial or whatever battle you may be going through, that word will take you through. You understand? So there's a spiritual principle in here, prepare food for your journey. Everybody get organized, everybody get prepared. If you've ever been in the military, you get prepared before you deploy. You understand? You just don't, well, everybody come when you want to. I forgot this. You better not forget it, because your life may depend on it. You understand? And so we have to learn to follow proper protocol with the Word of God, because that's the thing that's going to get you through life, not just barely getting by, but to where you're going to walk through, not whipped, but you're energized by the Word of God.
I'm reminded of back when we were looking at in Deuteronomy with the sacrifices, that you couldn't have a sacrifice that had any blemish that you presented before the Lord. And I learned through that, the Lord taught me that worshiping God must be a forethought. It can't be an afterthought. And I think about how there's so many things in our lives that we have to put forethought into. And this is what the Lord is telling Joshua, right down to, now I can say the word in my head, but my mouth's not cooperating. The food, prepare the food. You have to put some forethought into that victual. Anyway, prepare the food. Think about it. And when you're going on a journey, put thought into it. We were talking today about how even if we devise our way in our heart, that the Lord will direct our steps. There's order in that, but still forethought's got to be put into that. Right to, you're getting ready to go into a territory that I have promised you, but there are things that you have to do in order to take that territory.
Now, devise means plan. You plan. You understand? Well, I'll just open my mouth and let the Ford fill it. But you better get it in your heart if you want it to come out of your mouth, because it goes into your heart, you understand? And so prepare.
verse 12. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising.
So Joshua's reminded the Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh of the agreement that they've already made. You get this possession under these conditions, these circumstances. Your army has to cross Jordan. The armies of Israel, the other tribes, their armies, they've all worked with you and united in defeating the enemy for you to get the land that you have. And so when they go over to get the land that God's given them, then you have to unite with them and you help them enter into the rest that you are enjoying, okay? So it's not, well, I've got mine and I'm not worried about anybody else, you know, my four no more mentality. No, this is a united effort. This is a nation, okay? So is the body of Christ. We're a holy nation. And I don't know that people have put that together, what Peter's saying there. We're a holy nation, the body of Christ, not the religious arena, the body of Christ, those who are called out from the religious arena. Caiaphas was religious, and he's the one that had Jesus crucified, you understand? No, we're talking about the body of Christ uniting together for the common cause to take the promised land. You understand? The Christians' promised land. And so we help one another. We don't draw battle lines and fight against one another. And it's amazing how churches can't work together. Ministers can't work together. I got to be the main show or I can't help you. You understand? Now, there's a balance in all this. We help one another without violating the vision God's given us. I know what God has told me. I'll help you as much as I can without violating that. But I don't intend to abort the vision God gave me to fulfill your vision. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And so you have to keep the balance of this. We work with one another. We help one another. I love helping people. But then don't try to get me to fulfill your dream. Did God put that in you? Then think about this. Is it possible that God could have put something in me? Then you fulfill yours, I'll fulfill mine. And we'll work together as much as we can. But you'll have obligations that you're responsible for. I have obligations I'm responsible for. So we have to respect one another in all that. Do you follow me? But we work together for a common cause. Well, what is this common cause? It's getting the kingdom of God established on earth. That's what we're all working for. We should be working together, putting our emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, not fighting one another over some belief. Well, I believe this way. I believe that way. Well, I mean, you believe what you want to believe, but I'm going to ask you this. Does God believe what you believe? Not a matter. Do you believe what I believe? Do either one of us believe what God believes? If we don't believe what God believes, we're both wrong. And so we have to analyze things and constantly evaluate ourselves all through our lives, understanding that nobody knows it all. and that we're learning. This is a learning process. I don't care how old you are and how many years you've been in the ministry, you don't know it all. And so we learn. We're learning things on a daily basis, you know. Now, I don't care how many times you've read the Bible. Read it again. You'll learn some more. This is what we have to do. We have to work with one another and help one another along the way, sharing with one another the gifts, the abilities God's given us. Anything God's given you, you didn't buy it. It didn't cost you anything. It was freely given to you. You freely give it to other people. Help them possess their land. Help them take their territory. But you can't neglect what God's called you to do in the process. These men were under obligation. Note this. This is the army. You have to understand that. When I say army, whatever branches of service they had, you with me? This is their military. How's that? Okay? Now, their wives, their children, the people who weren't in the military stayed there in their possession on the east side of the Jordan River. But it was the military that was to go out with the other military of the other 9.5 tribes to go against their enemy to help them gain possession of what God had given them. I hope I explained that.
That's good. Thank you. Verse 16.
Say this. Once they had gotten their possession, then the Reubenites, Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh turned back to their possession. Mm-hmm. They didn't stay in the other people's land. You understand? They went into their own land. Each tribe had its own leader. And so it's just like the United States. Each state has its own governor. Well, the governor of this state doesn't tell the governor of the next state how to run the state. No, if you do what you're supposed to, you're going to have a plate full running yours. And so that's how we just see it. Whatever ministry God's assigned you to, focus on that and do what God's called you to do and work with others as much as you can in fulfilling that.
And they were all united. Each one of these tribes were united around the Word of God. That was their focus around the Word of God. As Pete was saying, that each tribe had its own territory. For me, it's easy to think about states in the United States. We have our own territory, but yet there are times when the whole country unites together around the cause. And these tribes were to always be united around the Word of God. That promised land, this nation of Israel, was to be distinctly different from all the other territories because of the Word of God.
Just think of state or local security and think of national security. When the nation is threatened and all the states come together, the military of all the states come together for the national security. You understand? That's World War I, World War II, and even ally with other people. You follow me? And so you have to keep these things in perspective. The spirit and the natural run parallel as far as principle. The natural gets its ideas from the spirit, not the other way around. Believe it or not, the spirit brought the natural into existence. God made man in his image. Man didn't make God. They're trying to, but you'll never make God. God made you, and you've got to get that in proper perspective and learn to do things God's way. Amen. And so we unite around God. Churches should unite around God. Local congregation, as well as the various churches in areas. We should all be working for one common cause, and that's getting the kingdom of God established in the hearts of people. It's not how many people can you get a profession out of. How many people is God ruling? Now it's where the rubber meets the road, okay? A lot of people can make a profession, but they don't live for God. So, what are they doing for the kingdom of God? What are they doing to improve the world? Are you cooperating with God or are you working against God? If you're not working with Him, guess what? You're against Him. Just because you have a religious name and all that doesn't mean a thing. God's looking for people who follow Him, that His kingdom, He rules in their heart. That's what the kingdom's all about. God ruling me, God ruling you. Not us ruling one another, but God ruling all of us. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to get to the point to where we're submitted to that, to where we want to see the kingdom of God established. Not how big's your church? Now, it's an amazing thing to me. You know, people find out that I'm a minister. You pastor a church? How big's your church? Who cares? It's not my church. Actually, when people say, you have a church, I'll say no. Jesus has a church. I don't want to have a church. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, those who build it labor in vain. There's a lot of people that build their churches, but it's not the Lord building. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And so the way we look at it, He just assigns us to a group of people. All right, I want you to lead these people, but you better listen to me, because I want to lead them, but I need you as a body so I can minister to them through you. You see that? And so it takes the pressure off. You don't get jealous that way. Well, they're still in my sheep. I've heard pastors say that. He get mad at one another. People go to this church. He's trying to steal my sheep. Somebody said that to me. I said, I don't have any sheep. As a matter of fact, back when I was in a denomination, they had a split and all in the church, and I came into a mess anyway. And the people, they start another church, and the people in that church wanted me to oppose it. I said, I don't care if they build next door. And I meant that thing. I don't care if they build a building next door, to have a church next door. Do what you want to do. The Lord sent me here. And so the people that the Lord wants me to lead He'll send those people. And it doesn't matter to me if it's 5 or 10. You understand? We're not interested in that. And I'm not interested in what they're doing on that side of town. That's not my jurisdiction. My jurisdiction is to do what God's called me to do, and as much as is possible with me, to live peaceably with all men. Okay? Not to fight them, but to try to work with them for the common cause of the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen. Verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage.
Now, this is my mindset. And boy, I appreciate what these guys said. This is commitment.
Yeah.
All right, Joshua, we gave our word to Moses. We're going to keep our word to Moses. We're going to follow you like we followed Moses. We're with you, man. We're with you. And if there's somebody in our troops that is against you, we'll kill them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get rid of the enemy. You understand? You have to get the enemy out of the camp in order to have successful victory.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find the first city they come up against, they find out they have an enemy. And later on, in order to be successful, they had to get the enemy out of the camp. They had to kill him. You understand? Sometimes church growth comes by people leaving, not how many you can accumulate. You want it to grow spiritually. And sometimes the rot has to leave. The thing just goes into decay. There's a lot of churches diseased with cancer. Cancer is just something that's breaking off and doing its own thing, which interferes with the body. And so those things have to be dealt with. And the Lord deals with that. He separates sheep from goats. You understand? He'll let the wheat and tares grow together for a while. But when the harvest time comes, he's going to separate the wheat and the tares. And the tares are destined to be burned. Okay? Now don't you jump ahead of God. You follow the Spirit of God. And you don't do anything without the direction of the Lord. This is called being led by the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And let me just say this. God will lead you two ways, with His Word and by His Spirit. But what if there's absence of either one of those? You're going to miss God.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people want to go all Word and no Spirit, or all Spirit and no Word. And these that go over here with all Spirit and all Word, they get as goofy as you can get. You understand? All this emotionalism and all this type stuff. These over here that's all Word, they get so settled in the Word that they're not even pleasant to be around, and they don't allow the Spirit of God to move. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God work together. They have always worked together. They work together at creation. They work together in bringing Jesus into the earth. They work together in bringing the body of Christ into this realm that we're in right now. They work together in getting the kingdom of God established in the hearts of people. We need the Spirit. We need the Word. You understand? So we have to follow the ways of God. Moses had more than the law of Moses. So did Joshua. Joshua had the Word of God. But Joshua was also a man that spent a lot of time in the presence of God. It wasn't just Moses that would go in the tabernacle. It wasn't just Moses who went up on the mount. Joshua was his right-hand man that went up on the mount with him. Joshua would go into the tent with Moses. Moses come out and Joshua would stay there under the cloud where God is speaking to him. So when it came time for Moses to leave and for someone else to take the leadership, Joshua was well prepared with the Word and with the Spirit. You understand? That's the person you want leading you into the promised land. Is one who leads you by the Word and by the Spirit. Then you can overcome the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we okay? Are we at a stopping place? Where are we?
Okay.
Okay.
8 minutes. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there.
Now I find this interesting that Joshua didn't send out 12, he sent out two. Right?
Yeah.
Now, what they're to do is go out and get an intelligence report. And that's critical. If you think of military strategy, then you need an intelligence. And military doesn't operate like most people think. You know, how do you think they know where to put the missiles, to put the rockets, and all these other things? How do you think they know where the enemy's strongholds are? Somebody has infiltrated. And somebody has gone in and they've gathered information and they come back and give you the information to where you can get the best battle strategy. Okay, how are we going to do this? Where are we going to go and all this? Now, don't violate the Spirit of God in it. So these two men go in, and there's so much to say right here. They go in, and they go into the house of a harlot, Rahab. Well, that would be a safe place if you're a spy to go in. You'd be the least suspected of, I would think. Okay. And here is a woman that has heard of them, and she knows what they're there for. She doesn't know those men personally, but she knows they're Israelis. And she tells them, everybody's afraid of you. They've heard about your God. They know what God did to those kings on the other side of Jordan. They know about the parting of the Red Sea. They know about these things. We know about them. And our men here, they're weak-hearted. They're not wanting to fight you. You understand? And I know that your God is the true God. I want you to listen to the confession of this woman. And she risked her life to hide them because the king has heard that they have come to her and he sent to get them. And she hides them and lies to the king. But then she said, all right, I've saved your lives. You saved mine. And I'm not going to jump ahead of myself so far here, but I'm just going to lead it to something, okay? So he sends these two men in to get this intelligence report to come back and give to Joshua. And you'll find that they weren't like the 12 or the 10 of the 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to keep reading?
Yes, sir.
I've jumped ahead of it.
That's okay. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Let me keep going.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went I know not, want not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate.
Okay. So, catching up with what we were saying before, mm-hmm. She hid them. She told the king that they'd already left, as the king sends out a detachment to try to find them, and they go all the way to where you forded the Jordan River, and they couldn't find them, and because she had them there hid and sent them out another way. Well, our time's up, so we're going to have to stop here, and we'll pick back up with the rest of this narrative in our next session, okay? That you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us, you keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us, you lift up your countenance upon us, and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great rest of the week, and we'll be back here. I'll be back here in the morning, but I guess...